Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today as we discover how the cross displays true friendship.
Friendships cost. Jesus Christ came with the sole purpose of making the cross a reality. His friendship. We can say yes, his deity, yes, God in the flesh. Yes, we can use all these other true character qualities and positions that he is, but his friendship carried that cross. That friendship hung on the cross so that he could buy back those of us that had no hope.
Well, Janie, we have devoted the past several weeks to sharing all the benefits of the cross because we usually just understand one benefit, and that is the benefit of salvation. But we don't realize that there is so much more that the cross did for us that allows us to be able to walk in our Christian life and be victorious. And so I just want to reiterate three foundational benefits that allow us to not only come into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but also walk in a relationship with Him on a daily basis in victory. So first, the cross paid for our sins by the blood. The cross also took care of our old nature by the crucifixion. And the cross defeated the power of Satan in our lives by the resurrection. And many of us have not even heard about or understood all of these benefits that we could have access to by the cross.
I am, shall I say, disappointed, and then yet I know when I say that word, Sharon, that it can mean that maybe my focus needs to have some adjustments, that we don't really go in and just focus on the Lord. He is our life, and we say that, and then do we live it? And I've realized in visiting with so many people that there is a need that we return back to caring for one another. We have our theology in our heads, and many of us have it grounded in our hearts, and we're working on living it out as being in the family of God and friends of the Lord. He said, I don't call you servants, but I call you friends if you do my will. And so how do we get back to wanting to talk about him other than saying a lovely prayer over the meal? Or how do we go back and return to where the Lord's heart is?
I don't know, but I think that that would be so super, because it is so difficult to get people to talk about what has God done for you? What are you most thankful for? What can you say that God has done over the past 2 years in your life? You know, I just find it difficult for people to grab a hold of that and to share from their heart what the Lord has done.
Well, and many times people are a bit taken back if you ask them to recap what the Lord has done, if they've not been focusing on that. What has impressed me is that even though there has been strife and contention, whether it's going to the post office or whether it's standing in a checkout line and things of that nature, we all are looking for a smile, a kindness. We're looking for friendship. And when I looked at the scriptures some in the last few weeks, I realized that the Lord Jesus and God Almighty throughout the Word of God was saying, know me as your best friend, your bestest friend.
Besties.
Oh, yes, friend.
Yeah.
And when I've talked with people, I realize that there is a heart hunger to have a true friend.
They're so hard to find.
And you find on social media, you find beautiful little sayings all decorated up and everything like this. But I don't know how many of those little niceties are having a reality in that person's heart towards being a true friend to God the Father and God the Son as He is to us. And so there's a couple of verses, Sharon, I don't know if you've got them there or not, about establishing the relationship that the Father and the Son have in their oneness and in their friendship. I think we've got Luke 10:22.
I can read that real quick.
Okay.
Says, all things are delivered to me of my Father. And this is Jesus talking. And no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him.
So there is a very tight relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That is an expression of intimacy and oneness, and friendship is an absolute priority.
It's like saying, nobody knows Janie like I do.
Yeah,
well, right.
That may be
or
true.
Nobody knows my husband like I do.
I do.
Right, so, you know, it's that intimacy.
And there's mutual admiration and mutual love. And then in John 5:30, Jesus says, I can do nothing of myself or on my own initiative, but as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And there is a key there, Sharon. I don't seek my own will.
My own will.
But I have an interest in my best friend. And that has been true. You know, if you have a half a dozen true friends, according to the scriptural basis, during your lifetime, consider yourself one of the most fortunate people. You may have thousands of acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
You may have hundreds of casual friendships. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is one that is born for adversity. And those are the kind of friendships that we want to share today, because that is what the Lord is asking for us. And so many people that are overwhelmed with seeing God the Father and this great force in the universes, or Jesus Christ, our Savior and the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, we fail to realize that they are our friend. And sometimes when we can't grasp the theology, we can certainly understand friend.
Right.
And needing a friend from the heart. If I can take 2 minutes, I just want to share how that can work down to the very simplest in childhood relationships.
Okay.
And I ask for permission to share this story. I have a grandson named Dakota, and that name means ally or friend. And when he was a little boy in kindergarten and first grade, he would always get his work done first. And he was living out his character. He was being friendly by getting out of his seat and going and helping everybody else that was having problems getting their work done. But the teacher saw this as being a little independent and rebellious, doing his own thing, not quote-unquote obeying the rules, and then he would be reprimanded and he would get in trouble for being friendly and wanting to have an ally to someone else that he cared about in his class, and he couldn't understand what he was doing wrong. And you know what? Friendships cost. Jesus Christ, our best friend, came as a baby with the sole purpose of making the cross a reality so that the world could be redeemed, could be brought back. But Sharon, what happened to that friendship that was birthed in the manger? Well, his own family, it never really accepted who he was as far as his siblings were concerned until after the resurrection. He was rejected. Stop and think about the friendship that he gave in his miracles and caring and stopping and looking at the individual that had touched the hem of his garment. Always caring, always being a true friend to whomever was within his sight or his hearing. And yet that friendship ultimately took him into the Garden of Gethsemane, where his best friends went to sleep on him because they were so overwhelmed, and he was left alone in his agony. And then the greatest agony is what we've been discussing about this whole month, and that is his friendship. We can say, yes, his deity, yes, mm-hmm. God in the flesh. Yes, we can use all these other true character qualities and positions that he is, but his friendship carried that cross. That friendship hung on the cross, mm-hmm. so that he could buy back those of us that had no hope. That's friendship, Sharon.
That is true friendship.
And so if we have a hard time sometime understanding the theology, if we have a hard time understanding some of the concepts of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit being three in one, a five-year-old can understand
a friend. Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, you look at what Coda did, and you think about how he got in trouble for doing those things, right?
Yes.
He got in trouble.
And so
we've kind of been conditioned to not do those things, to not be caring and compassionate toward others, be more selfish.
And now we cloak it all under political correctness or political politeness. And yet basically what we are finding out is that everyone only is loyal to themselves. So what my thinking is, what's right in my eyes, mm-hmm. I'm loyal to that.
Right.
I'm not loyal to the character that God has given us, that he says, I've now empowered you to walk in that character. I've empowered you to be a friend. I heard on a seminar here recently where a Christian should be the most exciting person that you will ever meet. You should be so drawn to a child of God because they are displaying joy. They're displaying the certainty of the hope that they have in Jesus Christ. They're happy to take up his interest and make them known to everyone that comes into their whether it's their workplace, whether it's the home.
We should be a peculiar people, but we're not.
No, we look like the world, don't we?
Just like everyone else.
Yes.
And nobody can pick us out of a crowd normally.
Well, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is my desire that every time I go out, that I'm willing to give a genuine smile to someone that my eyes meet. In friendship, the Father and the Son were always there for each other. And there was only one time that they allowed their friendship to separate them. And Sharon, that was because of our sin. And they were willing to be separated for us.
So that we could be called friends too?
To them, yes. Mm. Yes, absolutely. And so greater love, John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. But now, you can only lay down your life once in physical death if you take a bullet for somebody.
Right.
So this isn't referring to a one-time martyrdom act. This is referring to a daily dying to our own loyalty and find that we are being loyal to Jesus Christ and caring about his world.
Well,
that he came to redeem.
In the next verse, he says, "You are my friends."
Yes, if you love one another.
Yeah. And, you know, here's a question I have. Just a thought to ponder.
Okay, I hope I'm ready.
Well, you know, we talk about, you know, God being our friend, Jesus being our friend. But how does that return back to them? Back to God from us. Our friendship, because he's the real deal.
He's the real deal. You know,
he's a friend in spite of our friendship to him.
Okay. Let's pose a mind-boggling thought.
Okay.
A challenging thought. Does God need us?
That's a good question.
Okay. Well, you know, he's King of Kings. He's the ruler of the universe. He's the creator of all the universe, named all the billions of stars, holds everything in his hands through eternity past, through eternity future. But Genesis 2:15 gives us a really unusual clue about God's need for us. So before somebody jumps up and turns us off, please listen to Genesis 2:15. "Then the Lord God took man and put him in the garden to tend it and keep it. Adam's best and only friend at that time provided everything for Adam, but asked for cooperation in caring for all that he was given." So Jesus has a need, and that is because he has chosen to reveal himself through a human being.
That is very interesting.
So he has a desperate need for his world to be redeemed, therefore the purpose of the cross. But the world's needs is God Almighty's need. The world is his prodigal son. Now think about that for a minute. The world, every part, every country, every people, is God's prodigal son. And it is the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ to win his world back to himself.
And he does that through us.
And us showing who he is by the friendship that he has shown us.
But here's my question, and I'll go right back to it. How do we show that friendship back? I mean, and that's not anything that anybody can answer for everyone. That's a question that you have to answer for yourself. You have to look in your heart. How am I a friend to God? God's a friend to me, regardless of how I'm a friend to him.
Well, let's see how
in our relationship.
Okay.
But for me individually, that's a question I have to ask my own heart. How am I a friend back to God?
Well, let's ask your heart by what the Lord Jesus and God the Father showed in their hearts between one another. Now, I'm going to use two words. I'm going to use passion, and I'm going to use compassion.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay. If I lose you,
I'll raise my hand.
Okay. All right. There are two controlling words in the life of our Lord Jesus in regards to friendship: passion and compassion. The Lord Jesus had a passion for his Father. He longed to do his will. He said, "I don't do anything of myself. I only do what I hear from my Father." The Lord Jesus had compassion for us, and the two dovetail perfectly. Now, the Father God had an overwhelming compassion for us. The passion for the Father in our Lord Jesus' heart included the throbbing and sobbing compassion for us. So passion and compassion was flowing back and forth between the hearts of God the Father and God the Son. And that can be where we are today. Do I have a passion to know the Lord Jesus and make him known to you?
A passion to be with him, a passion to do his will, a passion to know him more and more.
And then my
and
compassion.
Then a compassion.
Yes.
To share who he is.
Yes. And Sharon, to meet your need when you need it, not with, oh man, she's into it again. I've got to go get her bailed out. All right. But seeing you as a true friend, there is an exhilaration to meet your need. I had the privilege of doing that this week, and I'm telling you what, there was no bah humbug in it. It was, I have a privilege, a mm-hmm. joy, an excitement to go and show the compassion of Jesus Christ to someone that I care about. And their needs were so much more important than my need and anything that it may have cost me. And that is our Godhead's heart of compassion and passion that we should develop and start to think about. And Sharon, we might really ought to elaborate on that, because yeah. I'm sure for some this is a new thought, that God is actually in need of us cooperating. He needs us to tend to his garden.
Well, you know, all through scripture, you know, we have different places, like in 1 Corinthians it talks about being a co-worker with co-workers with him, and so we have it in scripture that we are co-workers with him, but that's a different kind of concept than God needs me.
Well, stop and think about a co-worker too. Stop and think about, let's go back to the wilderness when things really went amok. Well, I guess they really went amok in the garden, but they continued.
Gotcha.
They continued with consistency. And stop and think about Caleb.
Mm.
Now, we've talked about the nations and the strife that is within our culture,
right,
and within our world. Caleb was willing and did not flinch one bit to face a whole nation bent on going another way. Sharon, Caleb, one man, one true friend, unflinching, went up against the culture and the world alone at that time. We need to see about what it is to be Caleb, and maybe we need to study him. So for right now, let's just say, what better way is there to travel down here below while we wait to go home above, where all our friendships will then be perfect relationships? And until then, he says in Luke 19:13, occupy till I come. And that doesn't mean spending all your time in front of social media or electronics, but occupy his interest until he returns.
You know, there are so many things that can distract us these days. Technology is wonderful. It's great. There are wonderful things we can do with technology. But at the same time, technology can distract us from occupying here in the proper manner.
And maybe we won't need it when we get to heaven above. Have you ever thought about that?
Technology?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll need it or not. Hopefully we will have something superior. But until then, Sharon, we want to occupy till he comes, or until we go home.
I get so messed up. By the time I figure something out, it is outdated, and they've got something new.
Well, and let's just...
I've always been a year behind on everything.
Well, I don't know.
Fashion, hairstyle, technology. But, Janie, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.